and very warm welcome to this special podcast series where we talk to senior government officials and industry leaders to explore stories, ideas, and how they are shaping our future. Whether it is a groundbreaking project, expert advice, and latest trend, we are here to bring thought-provoking conversation that keeps you informed and inspired. Today, I am joined by Mr. Sanjay Kulshrestha, Chairman and Managing Director of Foodco, an electrical engineer with over 32 years of experience in infrastructure financing. Mr. Kulshrestha has worked both in private organization and public sector state government organizations. Before being the CMD of Foodco, he has spent almost 17 years at RECL, where he was responsible for power project financing. Mr. Kulshrestha is somebody who is fully committed to India's vision of developing a public sector infrastructure which is world class. Mr. Kulshrestha, thank you so much for taking out time for this interview. Let me begin by asking you, I think today you complete the 1 year in Foodco. In this 1 year, how has been your experience? And also the fact that whenever a new leadership comes to any organization, they always have a process of decision making, also exciting team members, both from the top to the bottom as well. So how has been your experience? And from a decision making perspective, how do you look the process altogether?
Yeah, thank you. I'll go by the background. I was working with REC and we know that we are into the era of the energy transition, and the government of India and Honorable Prime Minister is committed that our 50% of the energy will come from the renewable sources by 2030. So I was in an organization which was mandated to fund the project in line with the commitment of the government for energy transition. So when I was selected here in Foodco, it was a totally different field. I was in a specific field of power or energy financing, and all my experience of 32, 33 years was in the power sector only. So when I came here, actually the space and ecosystem was totally different. The company was dealing in the housing and urban development and urban affairs. Ministries were different, working was different, organizations were different. So it was a challenge internally for me when I had joined. After joining this place, I started thinking what to do and how to do. And there are a lot of things and a lot of potential was there within the company. Be it the financial ratios or the business stability, or the opportunities, potential, cost of funds, compliance. There are a lot of things that we can do. But at the same time, when a new person joins directly as a CMD in any organization, the absorption by the employees and the stakeholder is very, very important. Until and unless you are absorbed, whatever decision you take, it will not be complied. It will not be in the best use of that industry or for the company. So that was my biggest challenge. And at the same time, I was also new. I didn't have that kind of knowledge in the infrastructure side. And I was totally going by the inputs of the stakeholders, or studying the books, or analyzing the infrastructure financial company results. But I think Foodco is a company where employees were waiting that there should be some change. And I am very happy to say today I am completing 1 year. The employees are accepted. And they had shown faith in my talks, and they had started working on that. And I can say you with full responsibility that during 1 year, I think we as a team tried to touch each and every aspect, be it the personal matters of the employees, be it the promotional matters, be it the perks or perquisite or allowances, or recognitions, transfers, required transfers, promotions, recruitment from the HR side. Since these companies, whenever we are working in an NBFC, the human resource plays a very vital
role.
Then I had worked towards the policies.
Right.
We had initiated lot of new policies in line with the business requirement.
Right.
We had customized the products also. So that in a project financing, the project cash flow should support your policy rather than it is otherwise.
Absolutely.
So that otherwise there should not be any risk of the NPA.
Right.
Then third is the compliance. Compliance is a very vital thing. Now we are under our RBI and RBI has agreed to give us a status of IFC in last 1 year only.
Right.
So lot of efforts have been made with the regulator, but regulator was very, very understanding and they understood our point of view and finally they agreed. That yes, you can do the infrastructure finance,
right?
And they had come out with some conditions.
But
whenever you are with such a good regulator,
right,
the responsibility of compliance is highest.
Absolutely.
Because you cannot have a chance to miss any compliance report.
Right. Right.
So then last was the cost of fund.
Right.
Cost of fund was higher. And since I was coming from REC, I had that kind of knowledge, even though I am a technical person,
right,
that how to raise the resources
right
from multiple resources and how to cut down the cost.
Right.
So we had started so many measures and we had gone on a Madden ECB,
right,
external commercial borrowing also.
And
during last 1 year, we had cut down cost of fund by around 35-36 basis point, which is exemplary.
Right.
We had the highest sanctions. So in earlier years, it was around 25,000. We had achieved last year around 82,000. The disbursement is also doubled.
Right.
The income is also up by around 30%.
Mm-hmm.
The AUM is up by 15%. So a lot
right
of things are changed.
Right.
And it is because of the acceptance. And finally, people have started understanding
right
that this is the only way their company can grow.
Absolutely. Since you mentioned about the new approval that you receive from the RBI to finance even the infrastructure project, so are you going to do the financing of both the private infrastructure project as well as the government? How that will span out?
If we go by the regulatory approvals, we are NBFC, IFC.
Right.
There is no bar by the regulator to finance the public or
right
private, and I believe that private sector is equally an important stakeholder in development
right
of the country.
Right.
And since the vision of our government is the Viksit Bharat by 2047, so we have to take care of the private sector also.
Right. Right.
And as a public sector company, we should be more responsible towards
absolutely
all the stakeholders, be it public or be it private. For us, the project, a proponent and the project,
right,
these two things are more important
absolutely
than the stakeholders.
Right.
But yes, you had rightly pointed out in 2013, the HUDCO has decided to put a hold on the private sector funding.
Right.
We had set up a dedicated wing to study the practices, which is the best practices.
Right.
And since we were not doing the private sector as of now from last 10-12 years, I think we have an opportunity.
Absolutely.
We are open to do the private sector, but at the same time, we want to build our capacity and the capability.
Right.
And with this initiative, we had gone for the recruitment.
Right.
And this year, we will be incorporating around 66 officers,
right,
newly officers, who have that kind of
experience
and the expertise. And once we are through with our system, then only we will do the private sector
right
financing.
Right.
But we have that kind of choice.
Right.
Since we are not doing that, we will choose only the good project and
yes
good entities.
Absolutely. Earlier you mentioned about some of the things that you have been able to do over the last 1 year. If I have to ask you, what have been the major challenge and achievement, if I have to ask you in the last 1 year for you, from now you are integral part of the HUDCO ecosystem, and I could see when the employees are reciprocating some of your messages that you are sending, and it's quite a, you know, an exercise wherein you are reaching out, they are reaching out. So how has been, from a milestone perspective, what are those?
I think the most challenging thing which any leader can have when he joins a new organization is
right
the change in mindset.
Absolutely.
Because to change the human mindset is the most difficult
right
most difficult thing.
Right. Right.
the company was working with a different mindset from last some time. So when I came, so since I had worked in the REC, which has grown during my 17 years, leaps and frogs, and lot of development has been done. So I had came with that kind of experience and understanding. So here also, starting from the HR to even the public relation or corporate communication, then CSR, then all these things are on my priority. So to change that mindset, that these are also equally important when you are doing the business of the company, that you should be more visible. People should know that what you are doing, and they should also analyze at the same time. Whether you are doing the right thing or wrong thing. You are a listed company. You have to do the CSR also. So whatever you are earning, the 2% has to be gone to the last mile, the poorest of the poor. So all these things were there, and I am happy that they understood the point. It may have taken some time, but slowly and slowly things are coming on the table, and they are also agreeing that this is the right thing that the company should do. We are adopting the best practices.
So what is your ultimate vision of a Hoodco? Something that in your mind that you want to see this particular government organization reaching out to down the line, let's say in 3 year, 4 year, 5 year timeline?
Other than the financial figures, we had kept a target of 3x. Now we have a loan book of 1 lakh crores. So that will be the financial figure that we will be at 3 lakh crores by 2030. But at the same time, financial figures are the outputs that generally the market market looks at. But the vision of the government of India is more important. They are the owners of this company, the 75% ownership. So we have to live the vision of the government of India. So now the government has came out with PMAY 2.0, wherein the Hoodco has been made responsible for so many things. And Honorable Prime Minister warned that by within 5 years of the time, there should not be any head without roof. So we are partnering with our ministry, and they are guiding us. So I think that will be my task for next 2-3 years, that everybody should have that kind of roof, and we will be coordinating with the state agencies, and whenever they require any fund or consultancy requirement, all these things will be extended by Hoodco. Then the vision is regarding the Viksit Bharat, and by 2030 there are studies which requires around 142 lakh crores investment in the infrastructure sector. So my initiative or Hoodco's initiative should be to see how the low cost funds can be available for development of these infrastructure projects, because cost of funds plays a very vital role in the viability of that infrastructure, so that it should meet the criteria, meet the objective, so that the normal public can take the advantage of that infrastructure. It should not be a burden on the normal normal citizen. It should come as a facilitator, and they should earn out of that that infrastructure.
A couple of weeks ago, you also raised in a similar line of fund from a Japan, somewhere around 448 million. And that seems to be quite unique for a government organization to do that. Even getting a loan which is slightly cheaper than what you would have received here. Tell us something about that.
See, actually, I am very blessed to be at this position at this point of time. Because all the stakeholders, primarily the government of India, they are so supportive. Advices are coming, approvals are coming, and they want that you should do something good for the country. And we want that we should tap all the resources wherever we are getting a funds at at a competitive rate of interest. So presently, Japanese market is offering good rates. Their rates are very low, around 0.25, and we had been fortunate that last year we had gone for 100 million, and market has supported us by 200 million borrowing, and now we had gone for 400 million, and I am very happy to see whenever I am meeting the investors,
right.
they are believing in the growth story of the country.
Yeah.
They are not believing only in the HUDCO, but they are believing in the vision.
Absolutely.
They are believing in the dreams of 1.4 billion people.
Right.
They are actually the drivers of our economy.
Right.
And their aspirations, their expectations are driving the infrastructure growth in the country.
Absolutely.
So that kind of leverage is there, and that kind of branding, because our Honorable Prime Minister always says regarding whatever, wherever he goes, he is a big brand for the country. So they are believing us, they are investing in us. So it is our responsibility that all these monies, all these confidence that is coming to the from the global side, it should be properly invested in our country's growth.
Absolutely. We have also noticed for most of the government organization, be it government or enterprises, technology has become really important. And if you look at over the last 4 or 5 years, especially the next generation technologies like AI, machine learning has become important. So I would like to understand from you, since HUDCO is embarking on a new journey, how do you look the role of technology in terms of achieving the vision and the goal that you have?
See, I will start from my generation.
Right.
So generation which has started its journey from 1960s.
Yeah.
I think this is the most magnificent kind of generation which had came out from, say, without telephone to the mobile, no virtual to virtual side. Everything is on the real-time side. Be it the transportation, be it the mobility, be it the technology. In our ages of last 50, 60 years, lot of things are changed. And during last 10 years, I think phenomenal changes in the technology had came. It is not like that the technologies were not there.
Right.
Technologies were there, but somehow we are not leveraging it, we are not utilizing it.
Right.
Now everything is in your fingertips.
Absolutely.
So whenever you are using a phone. Around 3 years back when I had asked someone that why it is called a smartphone.
Right.
So answers were there, but it was not so appealing kind of answer.
Right.
Now I also know why it is called a smartphone.
Right.
Because anything and everything you can do with the smartphone.
Absolutely.
So it is your connecting device, it is your financial device, it is communicating device, it is photo, camera, everything. So it's a smart device.
Right.
So now coming back to the HUDCO's point of view, I think HUDCO is not alone in this ocean of this IT framework. So we had already started the e-office. This is a paperless office now.
Right.
And during last 1 year, I had worked extensively with the team on ERP. Now we are ERP equipped. So the next level of the IT intervention is the use of the AI and ML. We will be using both these tools for the compliance framework, for cost of borrowing, for our asset liability mismatch management, and also for the appraisal of the schemes. So what I am discussing with my team, that we should appraise the projects on a real-time basis.
Right.
There should be some portal where which is supported by artificial intelligence.
Right.
And that project should be broadcasted to all concerned persons.
All concerned persons.
And on a real-time basis, everybody should start appraising that project.
Right.
And finally, if it is okay with everyone, then only it will go for the sanctions of the board.
Right.
So we are studying and we are adopting the technology. And I think it is a very great time for us.
Absolutely. Now, let me ask you two things. One is the HUDCO's impact, especially when you look at the work that you have done so far. Second, on a broader term, what is the direction that you see in the urban infrastructure financing? Some of the trends that you might be witnessing, what are those, if you could share your views on that?
Trends are continuously changing and evolving. Because I am in a financial sector where I look at the project as a cash flow. The sustenance and the viability of the project comes from that side. Like you have seen how the road projects are being constructed nowadays. Mm-hmm. So they are so fast. And it is not like that only government is infusing. So it is a time of asset monetization.
Right.
So once the assets are ready, it is monetized in terms of the InvITs.
Right.
Then the money is again invested into different projects. And
and
this is the way how the public is also become the part and the achiever of this infrastructure.
Right.
Similarly, all these things, be it hybrid annuity kind of models, be it the PPP models,
right.
Wherever the social sector causes are there, the government should come. Once government comes, then it will work as a fulcrum for generalizing the entire infrastructure in that particular site. So all these models will evolve a different kind of financial opportunities. At the same time, financial modeling also.
Absolutely.
So there are so many things evolving. Mm-hmm. So like hybrid annuity model or PPP. Right. Earlier they were in the road sector only. Now they are coming into say port also. Mm-hmm. Now they are into the airports also.
Right.
So big projects. The PE funds are coming. Right. The modeling is totally different. InvITs are being issued. Right. That money is again utilized. Right. So I think the financial world is changing. The NBFCs are changing and reviewing their processes, and they have to do that. There is no choice for that, because the need and requirement is very, very high.
Absolutely.
And the speed has to be very, very high. And at the same time, the accuracy should be there, so that there should not be any risk of the NPA.
Right. One last question to you before you go. What are some of the key things, especially from a growth perspective for a HUDCO that you see? Since now you have the funding, you have already a strategy in place, but you need to find out also the customers, if I say in a layman term. So what are those areas, how actually you are planning to reach out to them?
I think potential is not a problem.
Right.
Looking at the Viksit Bharat projects, there are a lot of potential.
Right.
Every state needs money.
Yes.
Only there are two things. The due diligence has to be very, very strict.
Right.
Compliance.
Right.
And second is the compliance.
Right.
That there should not be any non-compliance, and third is the cost of funds.
Right.
So on these three platforms, we need to do work. And since we are working from our regional offices, so they are actually working from the doorstep.
Right.
And our regional offices daily visits the state and understand their priorities and their plannings.
Right.
So on the basis of that, we make the action plan for that particular state.
Right.
And then the financing is being planned.
Right.
So our model is very, very simple, but at the same time, we work very extensively to understand the requirement and the priorities of that state.
Right.
And we are the company which is not a sector specific.
Right.
So we can fund starting from the road, water, metro, housing, power, energy.
Right.
So anything and everything which is coming into the harmonized list of the infrastructure.
Right.
We can fund. So opportunities are very, very high.
Yeah.
And if you see every state at a point of time, the priorities are different.
Right, right.
If housing or in say roads is a priority in X state, then maybe the water arrangement is the priority in the other state. So our financing is always hedged.
Right.
So this opportunity will come from this state, then the another opportunity will come from that state.
Right. Mr. Sanjay Kulsresh, thank you so much for taking our time for this interview. You spoke quite well, especially on the roadmap of HUDCO, the new energy that you are bringing into the company, and also the Prime Minister's vision for 2047 to making the Bharat a Viksit, a developed nation. Thank you so much for taking our time.